Did you bring any praise with you today? Amen. I know the choir has sung. I know that we've been blessed, but we've got to give him our praise, give him all of our thanks, because the Lord is certainly worthy to be praised. Choir just sung the song about Jesus. Yeah, there's something about that name. It is the sweetest name I know. I know. Do you know that name of Jesus? Amen. Well, we want to welcome you today. And again, we're going to be sharing a couple of Sundays that we'll be talking about something that is concerning and very much needful in the church. And I'll be sharing that in a little bit, but whisper to somebody, this is a grown folk conversation. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it is perhaps the most remarkable chapter in the Bible in describing a virtue of God. And my goal is to see people grow up in Christ and to discover this wonderful gift of God's love. Listen to what it says in these verses. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, or when I became mature, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Just going to share a few thoughts today on the subject, grown folk conversation. Grown folk conversation. You may be seated. Father, again, we are grateful to stand here. We don't credit anything of our ability, but we give you all the praise and all the glory. It's all about Christ. It's all about sharing your love and your wonderful and marvelous gift of salvation. But we come today that we might learn of your word and that we might take on these things that we should be doing as the body of Christ. Fill me with your spirit that I might pour out what you put into me through study, that I might bring forth your word with power and great conviction. And Lord, we'll give you praise and we'll give you honor and glory, for it's in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. I don't mind telling you that there is an enemy of the church, the enemy of the church. There are many enemies that the church faces. Satan is one. He seeks to destroy every believer so that you cannot demonstrate your faith. He can't take away what God has given you, but he will try. The Bible says he goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That's an enemy of the church. I believe that when we engage in evil practices and worship, that can even creep itself into the church and cause us to not be sincere in our worship of God. That's an enemy of the church. And we got to be careful with the things that we allow to attach to us and stick to us, because it can get into your worship and disrupt your relationship with God. That's an enemy of the church. But I want to talk about a silent enemy of the church, a silent enemy of the church. It's not just the devil. It's not just the things of this world that can destroy us, but I'm talking about the enemy of immaturity. Just not growing up in Christ. Spiritual immaturity is the enemy that cripples the church from growing and hinders the saint from becoming everything that you can be in Christ. One of the things that athletes do, they work out. You know, I'm not athletic, but I try to work out because this body says if you don't work out, we're going to break down. So there are certain things that you want to do to make sure that you can at least at some point stay strong. Stay strong. The mature Christian has to do some workout if you want to stay strong. The Bible admonishes us that we ought to be strong in the Lord and what? And in the power of His might. But we've got weak Christians because they're spiritually immature, not growing. Here it is that Paul has introduced us to the greatest force on earth. This force did not originate from you as an individual. It came as a gift from God. You have been gifted with the power of love. Anyone who goes down 1 Corinthians 13 and tries to check it off as a checklist as if it came from you, you are deceiving yourself. This is something that God poured into you. But this is also something that God wants to mature in you. When you got this gift, you become powerful. When you have this gift of love, it's greater than all of the sounding things of this world. It has perseverance. It has endurance. It has acceptance. This love is unconditional because it comes from your Creator, God. But if I'm immature, if I don't grow in this love, I'm not going to manifest it. Right in the middle of this chapter, Paul brings up a point that I think is very critical. You can have it, but not be able to use it. You can possess this great agape love from God and yet not be able to bring it forth. Let me give you an example. Relationships in this world depend on people getting along at least, right? But let's just suppose for some reason there's a difficult person that you're trying to deal with. Now, you've got a choice of whether or not you're going to love them or you're going to prove you right. You see my point? You see where I'm going? As a matter of fact, you could get to the place where you try to prove that you're so right that you forget all about the relationship. I read a quote by Matt Chandler that says, immaturity talks when it should be listening, and it's silent when it should be speaking. The German philosopher Immanuel Kant says, immaturity is the incapacity to use your own intelligence without the assistance of someone else. Let me read that again. Let me read it in my language. You can't think for yourself. Are y'all still here? When you develop in the love of Christ, you're not going to try to get somebody else's opinion because you got the word. You know what's right because you're depending on God to speak to your heart and tell you it's in the Word. Look at somebody, tell them it's in the Word. But if I don't know the Word, I'm going to be immature. If I don't know the Word, I'm going to respond with my feelings to just about every situation in life. So I possess the love of God. I'm saved. But I don't act like I'm saved because I can't produce this. We spend a lot of time feeding and nourishing our children when they're in the growth stage, right? You know, have you stopped to calculate how much groceries you buy just to get a little one from here to up here? It's a lot. You know, I'm an accountant, so I've been kind of keeping tabs with how much my kids owe me. So that when they try to get up in my face and talk about, you ain't did this, I'm going to pull out the little spreadsheet. Where you want to start? God has invested so much into your life and into my life that now for us to get to the place where we're not manifesting love, it's really an affront to God. We're saying it ain't working when it should be working. So we must have what we call these grown folk conversation so that at least we would be prompted to say, I'm growing in Christ. It's exciting when you can tell somebody, I don't know everything. I know in part, I prophesy in part, but I am getting to the place where I know more than what I used to know. I'm doing more than what I used to do. I'm able to pray more than I used to pray because I know that God is good and He will not change. And guess what? Because I'm looking to Him, I am growing in the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to be growing. COVID not only has affected us in a lot of the things that we do, but also, I'm going to go and say it, COVID has made us lazy. We used to pray, still praying, but we said, well, you know, I can't pray, can't do like I COVID out here. And I realize that we should not minimize the threat that this thing is probably still around. But guess what? The same God who brought you this far is the same God that will take care of you every day of your life. I tell people, you better still keep your distance from folk or when they start coughing. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, right? But we have to address the subject of immaturity. In his letter to the Corinthian church, the Apostle Paul recognized the age-old problem and the barrier to spiritual growth. It's easy to say what you can't do, but it's also easy to say the Lord can make a way out of no way. So how do you measure maturity? How do you measure your growth in Christ? How do you have that conversation with yourself and you tell yourself, I'm not going to behave like that anymore because I'm grown now. I'm not going to respond in this way because I know a little bit more about Jesus. I'm not going to live this way and give in to those old habits because I know no more now and the devil can't fool me like he used to. Am I talking to somebody? He can't slip one in on me like he used to because I'm not going to take his punch because I don't have to. I'm putting on the whole armor of God. I'm able to do better because I know better. I'm mature now. I'm learning. Paul walks us through this process. And next Sunday, I'll be able to bring a little bit more about it, but I want to really focus on how do we focus on and how do we know that we're growing spiritually? And the best way to measure that is your love. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be real honest with you. Putting love on the line takes more than talk. That's a grown folk conversation. You can't just say I love everybody because everybody ain't lovable. Come on now. Even the Apostle Paul says, inasmuch as is possible, live at peace with everybody. But some folk ain't peacemakers. And sometimes you feel like taking your peacemaker. Amen. Amen. You might as well be real. Am I right? But you got to maintain the love of Christ no matter what happens to you. You've got to be able to say that I'm going to glorify and I'm going to honor God despite my difficulties. Grown folk conversation. Paul gets us into this thing by introducing us to the fact that love does not make a whole bunch of noise. He said, if you have the ability to speak in such an eloquent way or you become so loud like a noisy cymbal, that's not really a demonstration of love. This love that we're talking about, it puts everything on the line for goodness. This love that we're talking about does not brag or boast about what it does. It just simply helps where it's needed. This love that we're talking about is always properly addressing everyone, even when someone wants to act like a fool. Are y'all with me? You've got to know that you got it, and you've got to realize where you got it from. You've got to recognize that you have this tremendous connection with God Almighty. And even when you want to do otherwise, love says you can't do that. How many of y'all ever had God tell you, you can't do that? You can't say that. You can't act like that. You got my love in you. You got my grace working in you. And if you are immature, hello, if you're not grown up in the Spirit, you will say to yourself, I'm going to take off my religion. Come on now. But how many of y'all know you can't take off Jesus? If he's in you, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. When you want to get mad, God's still going to give you love. Isn't that something? This is a grown folk conversation. That love holds on when everything else says, give up. That love never fails and will never put you down because it's rooted in the grace of God. Without that love, the child of God is incomplete. But with that love, the child of God is being perfected. Day by day, you're growing stronger and stronger. Day by day, you're learning more and more. I see a couple of folks that go to the gym where I go to. And Owen, I know you've got some muscles there, but I might join you one day. But I'm trying to deal with the shoulder. You know, you've got to have a workout in the love of God. Here is the problem. We don't want to be tested. We want to have all these virtues. We want to have all these good things of God working for us. But don't put us to the test. And you know what God says? You know what he said about your next week? I'm going to give you a test on Monday. I'm going to give you a quiz on Tuesday. I'm going to give you, amen, something to pray about on, come on now. But when you know that you passed the test, when you know that God will not let you fail, that's when you can rejoice and be glad. So two things are happening here. Two things really are happening here. And as you look at how God is working in you, the things that we have to look at is that this love, this gift, is coming from God. And as you utilize the gift, you cannot fail in the love of God. Read the end of 1 Corinthians 13. It says, now abides faith, hope, and love. Faith is always going to work, right? Hope. That's what we know is going to, and we anticipate that God's going to do it, right? That's always going to work. But it says the greatest is love. You possess something that is so critical and so powerful that the devil is afraid every time you get ready to use it. He trembles because he knows you're doing something that represents God. Anytime you really demonstrate love, you're now expressing the glory and the power of God. People can't argue with that. My mama told me something one time, and I thought she was kidding me. I thought she was joking. But then I realized how serious mama was. She said, when you refuse to fight somebody, they ain't gonna fight you long. They're gonna walk away. And mom, I'm still trying, you know. It's kind of like when Jesus had turned the other cheek. Lord, I'm still trying. You know, you're supposed to turn the other cheek when somebody hits you on this one. I don't know. I'm still ducking, Larry. I'm still weaving and bobbing, you know. And I know it. I'm trying to learn. But as I possess the love of God as a gift, as a tremendous gift that God has given me, you're actually becoming more powerful than your enemy. Think about what you've got in you. Think about what moved God to help you in the first place. It wasn't because God said, oh, those poor souls, they need saving. No, it was the love that moved God to say, I will do this. I will redeem mankind. So I'm looking at God working in us, giving us more power than what we see that we actually possess. But then the second thing that happens, I want to grow to my full potential. And how many of y'all are above 50, 60? Raise your hand. I didn't say the big one. But you're at least above 60. Now, I don't want to shock you with this, but you probably have lived your best days. Amen. But guess what? It's not over until God says it's over. So if you can put young thoughts in your old mind, you're going to be powerful. What am I saying? You have a potential. You have an ability that's been given you by God to rise to the level that he wants you to rise to. Rather than you saying, well, I'm just going to be here and I'm going to settle with this. You know, I don't want to know too much about the Bible because it might tell me to do something I don't really want to do. You want to rise to the potential of what God has designed for your life. You only get one chance to do it. Remember that thought we gave you on last Sunday, you got one coin. Spend it wherever you want to. And Lillian Dixon was right. But you only have one life. So use it wisely. And as you think about that, why are you settling for less than what you could be? Why are you getting back and you're saying to yourself, you know what, I'm just going to take it easy. I'm just going to chill out. Ain't nobody else doing. I ain't going to do either. It's kind of like one of those church attitudes. You know, when we say, I don't see nobody else doing, well, I'm going to get up and do it. Because the Lord is telling you to do it. Because God is prompting you. The Holy Spirit is prompting you, pushing you forward because it needs to be done. And you got this great potential. So two things happening. You got the love that God gave you as a gift, but you also have this amazing potential of what Paul says can happen if you manifest God's love. You can do this. I know you messed up in the past, but I'm not talking about your past. I'm talking about where you are right now. If God was so upset with you, he could have caused you to be out of here yesterday. Are y'all in the building? But you're still here in Jesus' name. You still have a chance. You still have an opportunity. And you still are available for God to bless you any way you want to. Now listen, I'm not talking about the gospel of works. You're not working for this. You already have your salvation. But you're doing this so that you can glorify and honor God. When are you going to take the focus off yourself and put it on God? When are you going to start saying to yourself, I was created for the glory of God? And what I want to see happen, amen, is for me to become everything I can be in Christ. Is that your confession today? If that is your confession, the Holy Ghost says, I'm going to make it possible. I'm going to work in you and I'm going to surprise you by what I'm doing so that when you get to the place where you're standing in front of Jesus, you're going to look just like him because he's created you in his own image. Touch somebody, tell them this is a grown folk conversation. So how do you grow in love? I'm going to wrap this thing. I'm going to give you seven things real quick. Give you seven things real quick that will help you to grow in the love of God. You don't have to take down for the devil. But when you grow in the love of God, it increases your knowledge. Notice Paul says, we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect or complete is come, then we know more. We know even as we are known. Matthew 11, Jesus challenges us. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Now, in case some of y'all from the city don't know what a yoke is, I'm not talking about the egg yolk. He's using a farm term here. He's still using this thing of like a collar. And what they would do is they would have oxen to be under what we call a yoke. One ox on this side, another one on the other side. Jesus used that farm term by saying, I'm going to put myself under this yoke. Now what are we doing? We're joining with Christ. He's on this side. You're on that side. Guess who's going to carry the load? He carries the load, but you walk with him. So when you take his yoke upon you, every move that he makes, you got to make. Why? Because you're under the yoke. Every step he takes, you got to take a step. The problem with immaturity is we start backing back. Now we're hindering the work of God. Are y'all with me? Touch somebody, tell them, keep up. You got to keep stepping. You can't allow what happened yesterday to keep you from living today. Yes, so-and-so talked about me, but I'm so glad that getting old comes with a gift. You get forgetful. You can't remember what folk did. You can't remember what they said and he said and she said and all of this kind of stuff. You say, I'm so glad to be alive. Guess what? When I woke up this morning, I didn't worry about who said that. I put my feet over the bed and I said, man, they moving. I'm alive today. You can't allow folks to stop you from being blessed. And guess what? I got up and said, Lord, thank you for another day that you've made. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And if you don't know what I'm talking about, this is a grown folk conversation here. You've got to mature in the knowledge of God. You've got to learn more about him. And the more I know about Jesus, the more I love him. And the more I love him, the more I know. And the more you know, the more you love him. And the more you love him, the more you know. And it's growing every day. I'm stronger now. The devil can't beat me up the way he used to because I've learned how to take a punch. Amen. He might say, I'm going to sneak this one in on you. And no, guess what I do? The lowest he can knock me is on my knees. And when I get on my knees, oh, great God Almighty, everything is all right. So you got to have that knowledge. Second thing you got to do, if you're going to grow in the love of God, you've got to be enriched in your worship. Did you not know that God is seeking those who will worship him? When you come to church, there is a desire in you to have fellowship with God, to worship him. It may be to thank him for something he's done, pray to him for something that you need, to recognize him that he is your provider and your strength. That's worship. That's a part of worship. You didn't come here to look around and see what folk, let me see what you, let me see what kind of car folk drive up in the church in. That's petty stuff. That's child stuff. But when you grow up, you know that the Lord is your maker. You'll know that he's your shade on the right hand. You'll know that God is the faithful God who will not let you down. You learn to worship him. Jesus saw the woman at the well and saw that her life was all turned around. He said, you don't know what you're worshiping. The true worshipers of God worship him in spirit and in truth. How many of y'all got the spirit today? The spirit of worship. Pastor, I know you said that we ought to raise our hand, but I was going to raise them anyway. Amen. I'm going to raise them anyway because I surrender to the will of God. Grow in love and grow in your worship. Then third thing, it demonstrates diligence. It demonstrates diligence in God's work. No one ever said that church work was easy. You got to sweat. Now, here's the point. By the way, Hebrews 11:6, in case you're looking at it and you're looking up in your Bible, it says that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Diligence. Here's the point. You get a job and you go to work and you work all week long on a promise that employer is going to pay you. You didn't check their bank account. You didn't go back and say, wait a minute, let me look up my phone. Let me Google it online. Let me see what their profit and loss statement is. You trusted them, and you worked at it, right? Now, watch this. Here's the one that has given you the very breath that you breathe. He put the blood in your veins to allow it to flow through your man. I don't know about serving the Lord. Are you kidding me? You'll trust man who lies every day, but you won't trust God who cannot lie. Oh, but when I look back over my life and see where the Lord has brought me from, know that he's been good to me every day of my life. Yes, I'm going to serve him. Reverend Coleman, why are you always smiling? I'm smiling because a frown is too hard. I'm rejoicing because I know that God is faithful. Diligently do his work. Don't ever do anything. Well, I'm going to get up here and serve the Lord, and then you look like you got run over by a truck. People look at you, oh, if that's serving God, I don't know, huh? I don't know about that. You got to do it diligently with all. Put your heart into it. Put your heart into it. Put your soul into it. Because when you needed a Savior, Jesus didn't give you halfway. He didn't give you that's good enough. He gave you the best, even to his last drop of blood. Not only should we be diligent, but we should also have endurance. Paul says in verse 7, love hopes all things, believes all things. Then he says, endures all things. Let me help some of y'all out because I don't want y'all to be gullible. You don't get up here next week. Reverend Cone, you said that love hopes all things, endures all things. I trusted this person and they treated me like a dog. You mean I'm supposed to be a doormat? I ain't tell you had to be no doormat. I'm talking about your relationship with God and your service to him. It's going to endure in your walk because you're not going to be the type of person this week you in, next week you out. Some days you feel like a nut and some days you don't. You're going to be devoted and endurance, whether it rain or shines. You're going to say to yourself, I'm going to keep on keeping on. I thank God for the people who are faithful and have served God for a number of years. And their zeal has not diminished because they know who they're serving. They know the one they believe in. I thank God for the people that have ushered here, that have sang here. Amen. I thank God for the people who are in administration in this church. When we realize who we're doing it for, we get excited. Amen. And the reason why we give up is because things, Lord allows things. One day I'm not going to be able to jump like this, but I'm going to jump now. One day I'm going to be too old to come up here, and then I'm going to get me a fan, sit down in the audience just like everybody else complaining. That ain't right. Let me go and preach. I'm meddling there. Look at somebody telling you, you got to have endurance. This is a grown folk conversation. And not only endurance when you're walking with God, but you got to know when God is talking with you and have that endurance, because the tempter is not going to care a thing about how sanctified you are. When you walk past the ABC store, you still got to pray. Some of y'all missed it because you ain't got that kind of problem. But some folks struggle. They really do. And it's not as easy for you, but guess what? You got sins in your life. Yeah, you got some stuff. Paul said, I'm not there yet. I got some stuff. The devil, he hits me at this area of my life. I know in part and I prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then we'll be complete in him. Endurance. Don't give up. I'm glad that you all came back after COVID. Thank you. You could have found something else to do. You could have said to yourself, you know what? I'm just done. I'm just done. But you came back. I kind of chuckled the other Sunday when I saw Red going to pick up his brother Malcolm to church because they love it. When you love it, you're not going to look at the faults. When you love it, you're going to look at where you're going. And if I don't say a thing else in my sermon, right there is where you need to be in your walk with God. How many of you love the Lord today? Amen. All right, we're going to move on. I'm running out of time. Growing in God's love also means that you demonstrate patience on a daily basis. James 1 and 4 admonishes us, but let patience have its perfect work. I'm going to take y'all back to the farm again. You got to be patient when you're farming, right? Because what some people will do, they'll plant the seed, but then they're so impatient that they'll go and try to dig it up. Is it growing? And they'll dig it up. Or when they see a plant come out of the ground, they will mess with it so much that the plant will just, you know, I'm giving up on you. I'm just dying. It's kind of like my wife. She does not have, I can talk about her. She's not here. Oh, she might be listening online. My wife does not have a green thumb. If you want something to die, give it to her and tell her raise it. Boy, I don't get no more rice pudding for a long time. I might not even be able to come in the house. Okay. You've got to be patient. The old saying, Rome was not built in a day. Neither will your life be built in a day. But little bit by little, God is adding to you virtue, strength, knowledge. Oh, but Pastor, I failed yesterday. He knows that. You know what he did? He took that part of your life and reworked it so that his grace is manifested. Sheila, he looks at our life and he says, I'm not finished with you yet. Some of you have dismissed your future because of what your past has done. Don't do that. You're trying to be God now. You're looking back at your past and say, well, I can't get past it. No. If he's still got you, check your pulse. If you still got a heartbeat, you still have a chance. Tell somebody, it's a grown folk conversation. So what does Peter say? What does James say? He said, let patience have its perfect work that you might be complete, that you might become mature, that you might grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. Next, you express confidence. Everybody say confidence. You know, we're so uncertain about everything that's going on in our world today. Our political system is failing us because people don't do what they should. You write a constitution and people say, I don't like that. Well, it's your constitution. But that's a political point. I'll move on now. The point is, you've got God's word. Philippians 1 and 6 says, he that hath begun a good work in you will be faithful to complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Did you not know that when God made all of the other creatures, he spoke them into being? They spoke, God spoke, and the animals appeared. He spoke, and the birds began to appear. He spoke, and the fish filled the sea. But when he made man, he shaped him from the dust of the ground. God's still working on you now. Somebody said, and I don't know who said it, but they're just talking. God made man and shaped him. And so God said, that's good. But then he said, I'm going to make woman, and that's going to be better. Somebody said it. I don't know. I knew y'all later. Oh, yeah. I ain't messing with y'all. That's grown folk conversation. But God shapes us. The Holy Spirit is yet working in your life. Maybe you're not at the place where you can cross every T and dot every I. But at least you can walk. At least you know and can testify, God has brought me a long way, and he's not finished yet. So I challenge you today, let him complete that work in you so that you would become everything that God would have you to be. Then lastly, last one, in case you've been counting, there have been seven of them. Here's the seventh. God did not give you the spirit of fear. Most of the news that you hear today is trying to stir up fear, anxiety. You watch all of the things that are happening, the world events, and at the end of the program, they might have some good news. But guess what? God's program has all good news. You not know what it says in Romans 8:28? It says, God, amen, is able to work all things together for your good. He can work it out. May not look good, may not sound good, but God works it out for your good. And we know that. Amen? And then in 2 Timothy 1 and 7, it says, God did not give us the spirit of fear. So if you're fearful, you're in a good place today to tell you don't be afraid. Matter of fact, when Jesus addressed his disciples, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. What was Jesus saying? He said, I am God in your life. You have no reason to fear. Well, what if this happened? I'm still God. What if that takes place? He's still God. And guess what? If he's still God, we still got a chance. God, amen, will not give up on us. He will bring us to the place where we are complete in Christ, and I'm excited about it. You can't make me go to sleep at night being afraid. I'm going to lay my head on my pillow, amen, and I'm going to sleep because I know who's going to wake me up in the morning. And guess what? If I don't wake up down here, I'm going to wake up in glory, which is going to be better anyhow. Do not allow the spirit of fear to take hold of you. Allow the boldness of God to grab hold of your life. Allow God to give you that gift of love so that you can love some folk. Don't join the hateful people. Join those who are on the love side. And I know, amen, this ain't a love boat, but it's a love church. Are y'all with me today? We are walking in love. We're learning to express what God is doing in our life. And guess what? Who gets the glory? God does. God does. Lastly, I close with something that came to my mind. The greatest thing that anyone can do to prove their maturity is to love people unconditionally. Don't tell me all the great stuff you do if you can't do this. Greatest thing that you can do to prove that you're mature is to love people. Look at somebody and say, that's a grown folk conversation. I close with this. I remember growing up, and we used to visit my grandma Jan over in Charlotte County. And grandma's house was a stopping place where people would stop. And they either she had food on the stove. She always had chicken on Sunday. We eat chicken every day of the week. KFC done made it famous. Well, Grandma made it good. We stopped by Grandma's house, and they would get into these conversations. Y'all know, remember that? How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? They get in these conversations. They get talking about different stuff, and they look at us kids. Y'all gone outside. This is a grown folk conversation. And what we would do, we go outside, but we get up under the window, Miss Calvin. The house won't insulate it no way. So we get up under the window. We listen. And we would kind of hear what they talking about. Grown folk conversation. Next thing you know, what they said was a secret. We telling everybody. Because we know something now. We know what the grown folk know. You all have listened in today to a conversation out of heaven. So when you walk out here today, you can tell people it's a grown folk conversation, but we're going to tell everybody about the love of Jesus. What was behind me is behind me. What is in front of me is the glory of God, and I am going to praise him and honor him every day of my life. Why? Because I'm grown now. I know more now. I don't have to take what I used to. I don't have to drag my past into my future because I know who orders my footsteps in the Lord. I'm grown now. I'm stronger now. I'm better now. And the devil can't fool me like he used to, Tony, because I've walked with the Lord. I've been under his yoke for a little bit. And he walks with me and talks with me and tells me I am his own. It's going to be all right now. It's going to be all right now. Because this is a grown folk conversation. God bless you. May heaven smile upon you. Father, thank you again for your amazing love. Thank you for the excitement that the body of Christ can have about growing in your grace and in your power. And Lord, whatever is happening in our lives is not worthy to steal our praise. We're maturing enough to know that we're going to praise you anyhow. Even if we have to cry, we're going to praise you anyhow. So bless us. Help us. That we might walk in your grace. I pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. And all the believers said, amen. I'm going to give the invitation. If there be one today, if you're without Christ, without hope, and maybe, probably you're at your wit's end. You don't know which way to turn. May I suggest that you turn to the Lord and honor him, and he will help you. Let's all stand. If you're online, you cannot come in here. I realize that, but you can write us. Go to our website, crossroadbc.com, and we'd be happy to hear from you, to encourage you. We don't have all the answers, but we do have the one who does, and his name is Jesus. If you're not a member of a church and like to be a part of our family, we'd love to have you. God has blessed us. Next year, this church will be celebrating 150 years. 150 years of God's amazing grace. So if you're in need of prayer, I want you to pray for the Miss Doris Clark. Pray for her and her family. Pray for others that are in need. If you need prayer this morning, we'll be glad to pray with you. Amen.